Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
You're now locked into The Zone with Diamonds and Roses podcast, bringing you one step closer to Pacific Northwest and Southwest Canada baseball news, stories, and history. Proudly fueled by baseballism, they're America's brand, Big League Chew, the official bubblegum of Diamonds and Roses podcast, and Devo Bat Company, professional wood grain bats for the love of the game. And now your hosts, Ben and Travis.
Welcome everybody to another episode of the Diamonds and Roses podcast, live here from Truist Stadium, home of the Winston-Salem Dash and the Carolina Disco Turkeys. I have graciously joining me here today for this episode and a previous guest, Greg Sullivan, one of the owners of the Carolina Disco Turkeys. Greg, thank you so much. And you hear the crowd. Yeah.
That's right. It's a little early, but you can hear the crowd, Ben.
It's my brother in the background, chilling. So I just got here. My brother and I are kind of on a little bit of a journey here in Carolina, visiting some family. But we're in the area, and I hit you up and said, "Hey, let's meet up. Let's go to the stadium because I want to see where you play." This is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the best parks in the country, and you know, players are loving it. It makes it a lot easier when you're, you know, telling people, "Hey, we're a new team. You want to come play for us?" It's nice to be able to pull this card out and show them, you know, pictures of the stadium and what they're going to be experiencing in the summer.
Exactly. And I got to imagine, you know, myself looking at the stadium here. And if you haven't, check it out. Truist Stadium, home of the Winston-Salem Dash, yet again, here in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. But I was just telling you, we were talking in person prior to this, and I'm thinking this is like a really, really nice spring training facility, you know, that a major league ball plane would be playing in. So, I mean, that's a huge selling point, like you were just saying.
Yeah, it is. I mean, they have, you know, Ryan Manuel oversees the operations part of what they're doing here, does a fantastic job. The grounds crew keep it in immaculate shape, I think, and you know, the team's actually part owned by the White Sox, so I think they want it to be like a major league quality field in a lot of ways, and you see it there. So spring training type facility, you know, I think it's about right, and a good game day atmosphere for those guys and for us, I think.
Yeah, you know, actually, I don't know if you've ever been, but Camelback Stadium or Camelback Ranch in Arizona, this actually kind of has the feeling of that particular stadium. I've gone there, you know, a few, couple times to watch the White Sox play. You know, because as you just said, this is their high A affiliate. But, I mean, that kind of reminds me what this is, which is really cool. And, you know, being that they're a high A affiliate, that's another huge selling point for your, you know, your team and your players. But let's talk about your team. How's it going this year for you guys?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. In a lot of ways, I mean, we've had a lot of successes. The record's not really where we want it to be, but we still have a lot of time to, you know, get that up. In a lot of ways, we're able to kind of tell our players, you know, if there's a losing skid, there's a good way to reset and pause, and that's that Triple ABA tournament. We're in the All-American Amateur Baseball Association, so we close out our season with something a little unique. We actually traveled to Johnstown, Pennsylvania, which is something, you know, most summer collegiate teams don't do this type of event, but yeah. we play in this national tournament that's been going on since the 40s. And so, you know, in some ways, we just kind of looked at this year as we're going to play the best teams that will be willing to play us. And then we're going to be really ready to go up there and try to win the thing. And, you know, we played six Coastal Plain League teams, which, mm-hmm. I mean, they're essentially A-ball teams,
yeah.
some of them. And, you know, we've taken our lumps. We went 1-5 in those games that we can say, hey, we beat the High Point Thomasville High Toms. They've been around since, like, the 90s or 80s. And, you know, are one of the best summer collegiate teams in America. You know, we're not going to beat those guys most days, but we challenge ourselves. We've, you know, lost to some of the best teams in the country that just happen to be close by. Mm-hmm. And then we've played some teams that are similar to us. It's really hard to get an apples-to-apples comparison. One thing we found is, you know, we're going to end up playing, you know, between like 36, 37, and 40 games in a regular season, depending on rainouts and that kind yeah. of thing. And before we go up to Johnstown, and a lot of the teams we're playing played like half of that. So yeah. essentially what we've had a lot of this season is we'll be like playing our third or fourth day in a row and going against a team that's, you know, playing like half as many games as us, and it's like always our third or fourth mm-hmm. starter versus their ace. And so, you know, I think that's, we're probably like a 500 type ball club, and just played extremely tough opponents, and then also kind of had those mismatches, and it's kind of knocked the record down a bit. So I feel like despite that, you know, when we go up to Johnstown, very possible we're as good as anybody there, just mm-hmm. because we've played a tougher schedule. And, you know, the difference is when we're there, we're not going to have that situation where it's our third or fourth starter versus their ace, because all the teams play the same amount of games. So it's like competitively even.
So let me ask, you know, are some of these players that you have on your team, are they finding themselves playing in probably in front of probably what would be a bigger crowd than they would normally at the collegiate, or maybe even have a couple high school, former high school players on the team?
Yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of different types of setups with summer collegiate teams. I have seen a couple teams that play in nicer parks or like in other teams' parks, but they just kind of show up and play. And that's not what we do at all. Like, we're a total operation. Like, we run our own scoreboard, we run our own video board, run our own music, have a mascot, mm-hmm. Have like stuff going on during the game, fans, you know, doing like dizzy back contests, kind of like the yeah. Portland Pickles or
yeah.
the Harbor Cats, teams like that out your way.
Yeah.
And so, like, we invest a lot of time and effort into that experience. And so, you know, we're not getting thousands of people at most of our games yet. You know, you're looking at crowds of like 500 or something like that at a lot of games, but the people that are there are just like nuts about baseball. Mm-hmm. And I think because it's like connected to the college game, you know, it's not like a passive crowd like you get at some minor league games. Like, people are following what's going on. You might have some girlfriends and family kind of mixed yeah. into the crowd that are, you know, little chatty and stuff, and or, you know, they chirp a bit, and I think it gets everybody fired up and connected mm-hmm. to the players. But yeah, to your question, you know, we do have guys from like schools like Wake Forest, and a guy that's was at ECU, he's transferring to App State, which is another good school around here. You know, people from D1s who, you know, on a weekend they may see crowds similar to what we have, but we also have guys from D3s and JUCOs,
yeah,
good players. But they're used to playing just in front of family, and they're signing autographs here, you know, like
yeah.
they're like celebrities. Like, now they have, you know, some young women that are following our team around
yeah.
stadium to stadium, you know, there's like little 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, like, kind of hovering around the dugout. It's kind of like they're minor league players, you know?
Yeah. You know, I mean, it gives them that feeling of being in a big ballpark, being in front of fans, and also having, you know, some followers, and just feel like, you know, they mean something, which they do to probably
do.
A lot of these younger players, because it's, you know, one of the things that I found out in the West Coast League and talking with some of the fans that go and watch those games is that they see this in places that don't have a bigger ball club. They see this as their big ball time ball club, their opportunity to follow people that they probably would normally not be able to follow and get to see, and see a different talent level too. So, you know, it's just one of those things I think you'll probably see, as I've seen with some of the West Coast leagues, you know, you're going to kind of continue to build upon your base. And, you know, it's an odd year. It's one of those awkward years. You're just barely getting up and going, but you got to deal with whatever's left of this pandemic and overcome that. So what has that, how has that impacted your team as a whole so far?
Yeah, I mean, it mostly impacted us on like the planning stages, just getting a later start with a lot of logistical planning and stuff, but also in the recruiting process, we made the decision early on. I mean, we're a healthcare city. You know, our ownership group's very, you know, interested in, you know, how we can be good neighbors and, you know, interact well with our community. And we just decided early on we're not going to do the host family thing this year.
Okay.
And that's a competitive disadvantage.
So where are you keeping, where are your ball players staying?
Yeah, we just recruited hyper local, and we do, you know, just to make it work. And we to be healthy, it's a two-front thing. It's COVID, but also having enough pitchers so you don't burn out your arms and don't burn bridges with college coaches. So we've been, I mean, it's kind of one of those things. We've had like multiple recruiting cycles this year just to make sure we have excess pitching.
So what you're telling me is you got a lot of inning restrictions on some of these arms.
I mean, not necessarily like imposed, but just like, you know, we talk to our players and we're like, what do you want? You know, and so because we want the best guys coming back, you know, and we want them to tell their coaches that, hey, they treated us well. So, so we have, I mean, we've had a couple coaches in the recruiting process that had like conversations with us about how are you actually going to use the guy? Are you going to get him enough at bats? Are you going to get him enough innings? Or and then like, how do you see like your role and et cetera?
But you're playing small, you're playing smart ball, because what you're doing is you're not only, I mean, you're not only looking at what you can do this year and how you're going to be competitive, but how can you be competitive in the long run, in the long term, not only on the field, but off the field, and getting players that want to come here, want to play, building that camaraderie amongst each other, building that respect between coach and owner or player, owner, stuff like that, right?
I think so, something, you know, we want to continue to grow. Not, you know, not just our fan base, but our reputation and our like prestige level, I think, and, and just find our niche and continue to grow within it. And I mean, I think, you know, getting with these like director of player development and pitching coaches at different colleges, that's usually kind of the connection level. And really just how can we help you guys, and then how can we work together? You know, I think in the future we're looking at it, developing a host family program where, and this is already starting, you know, and then also on the other end, having, you know, really good D2 and D1 programs, send us three or four guys.
So you're talking about host families.
Yeah.
I know there's people that listen to this podcast that follow it religiously, know what a host family is. But I want you to take a minute or so to explain what a host family is to us and the listeners who may not know what it is, but also if you're interested in being a host family, following up to that question, how do you go about doing that?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, pretty much every summer collegiate team that's worth anything is thinking about host families or aspires to have them if they don't already have some kind of network in place. You know, some teams are the only team in their town, and I think you might have like a chamber of commerce kind of facilitating that somewhat, just because they need to have this baseball team in their town for tourism or just something to do on the weekends. And for us, we just have to be a little more proactive because we have a hockey team in our market and a pretty well-known minor league team in our market and some other stuff going on, Wake Forest. So for us, you know, we have to like, kind of like we do with sponsorships and group sales and stuff, we have to really kind of network, get to know people, and just kind of figure out who will be a good fit. But yeah, like historically, minor league teams, in indie ball, a lot of indie ball teams have them, and like rookie ball affiliated teams when they were those, and then kind of lower end,
lower A ball, like Winston-Salem probably might have some,
a few maybe, and those levels. Just to make the lifestyle workable for the players, you know, families will take in a player for the summer. And it often works out where just like maybe they have a kid that's studying abroad for the summer. So they have an extra bedroom and you know, we'll give them like season tickets and access to some special events and maybe some swag or whatever, you know, like teams put together like a package to kind of, you know, do something cool to reward them and that kind of thing. But you know, for us, like, we're really looking at, like, networking with, like, little leagues and stuff like that. Because, like, we see it as, like, you know, let's let the player experience our city, but also, like, what can our player do that's not, like, taking up all their time.
Yeah.
They have a serious, you know, work to do. They might be taking a summer class. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, can they help, you know, teach, if that someone has a small kid, can they teach the kid to pitch, you know, like, a couple days a week to kind of give back, you know? You know, if the mom and dad are, like, cooking them, you know,
meals
a couple times a week or something, and which, you know, some families do and some don't probably, but, you know, that might be a way they can kind of give something back, is, like, help their son learn how to throw a curveball or something. So, yeah, just, but also it's, we want it to be, like, a good process. I mean, we do, you know, ask questions on the front end, like, are you comfortable with a kid coming home at 11:30 at night? You know, is that going to infringe on your lifestyle? Another big question a lot of teams ask are, like, you know, do you have a washing machine and a dryer? Because, you know,
thank God, got to do clothes.
A lot of laundry for these guys. Yeah. So, you know, teams will have a questionnaire, make sure it's a good fit for both parties. And I'm sure this year teams that did them probably were talking about vaccinations and stuff like that. But, yeah, I think we want to have – we can get a lot of local players in this market because there's so much talent and year-round players, just great players that grew up here. But we still – I mean, to be a great program, we're going to need especially pitching from other parts of the country, I think.
Yeah.
We don't have to have it, but, I mean, I think to be, like, an elite team in the future, that's that's the step to take.
But you said that you had said that I think there's some sort of rule – for this particular league that you have to have so many players from your particular state. Am I remembering that correctly?
That's exactly right.
And what percentage of players do you have to have from North Carolina, and how many players do you have on your team? Just to give people a perspective.
Yeah, I think on our team, we've kind of fluctuated some during the season, but, you know, we're looking around 30-ish and for our full roster, but we can only take 20 to Johnstown. And that final roster for that tournament has to be 50% kids with a permanent North Carolina address.
Okay, so 15 at minimum. You said 30 you're taking or 20?
For the tournament, it'll be 20.
Okay, so you have to have 10 players. So half the team has to be from North Carolina.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we've, I mean, it depends on how... Like when I, because I've just been filling out this mountain of paperwork for this tournament, you know, as all these tournaments are like that. But, you know, if you look at it liberally, we might have 18 or 19 guys that are sort of from North Carolina, but like technically with permanent address, you know, probably like it'll probably end up being like 12 or 13 or something like that.
Because
we have kids that are in college here, but maybe they're parents.
Oh, so not permanent resident. Yeah.
Most everyone's connected to here because we didn't have to really work for that this year because we had to kind of recruit locally anyway.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of kids that, you know, maybe go to Wake Forest or Carolina U, one of the local colleges, and maybe they just stayed with a teammate or whatever for the summer, that kind of thing. A lot of those situations.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I appreciate you taking, you know, obviously some time to, you know, talk with me, meet up with me here today. But... you know, last question is, you know, what's it looking like moving forward? You know, you talk about the tournament, but what about the remaining part of the season? What is it looking for? What are you guys looking towards the remaining part of the season?
That's a good question. I mean, I think, you know, we're looking at finishing strong with momentum going into the tournament is a key for us. You know, we've got a couple home games next Thursday. I hope the beer specials brings people out.
Yeah.
You know? And then next Friday's our last home game. You know, gonna do some stuff like have like a pizza. You know, go somewhere. I guess, you know, some of our guys aren't 21, so we have to go somewhere where everyone's gonna have fun. So we'll figure that out. But you know, do something like an end of year party for the guys, and then on a week from Sunday, you know, get in the vans and go up to Johnstown and try to win this historic tournament. But definitely at least, you know, have a strong showing. I think people up there are pretty excited. We're excited. But yeah, we're looking to, you know, grow the brand, you know, sell some cool merch in the off season. I know that's what we often talk about, but we've got some new era hats coming, with the full, you know, I don't want to spoil everything, but it will have like the full logo, which so far we've had a lot of stuff with the head of the Disco Turkey.
Yeah.
But we're gonna have something soon with the full logo, and then we're gonna have some player hats, which, you know, things have just been slow in shipping this year with COVID and port issues and stuff. But we're trying to get more things in. We got new shirts for this next homestand that we didn't have before. So trying to add new stuff and kind of figure out how we can kind of stay in the conversation during the off season, and then just, you know. We had a pretty strong recruiting class, and, you know, kind of mixed results on the field, and hoping to finish strong this year. But, you know, hoping next year we can really build off that, because, you know, when we go to recruit this year, we can show them, here are the games we played. Mm-hmm. And, like, we look at other teams that compete against us in recruiting, and they only played, like, 20 games. And recruiting pitchers is one thing, but we go to batters and be like, hey, man, you know, we can get you 100 at-bats. And look at how many games we played, and look at these other guys. And those guys can bring their pitcher friends over, you know what I mean? So we're going to, like, I think, continue to grow, you know, not just the brand and kind of our, you know, notoriety or whatever you want to say, but also our reputation and just kind of build a home here.
Yeah, totally. Well, you're my team of the East. And I'll continue following the Disco Turkeys from out west. And we will definitely follow up with you before game time next year to kind of see where you're at, how that recruiting's going, what you got going on for the year, so that way we can let all of our fans know, and you can let your fans know, this is what we got upcoming this particular year. Maybe release some stuff ahead of time, you know, talk about some stuff that's coming out. Mm-hmm. So we get a little bit of half to people.
Yep.
But yeah, it'll be great. And again, thanks for being an awesome sport and meeting up with me and just being part of the podcast. I know it's not West Coast affiliated, but it's summer collegiate ball. It's really cool to be able to chat with you and be a part of your inaugural season. So congratulations on that, and here's to the years to come. And I appreciate you taking time to meet with me.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. Thanks for coming out here, man. It's been great.
Excellent. Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Dimes and Roses podcast. Keep it locked in here. And again, thanks, Greg. And you guys have a great day wherever you are at. Peace out.